Today's shiur is Masech Bechul and Daf Chabeis, and we will begin on Daf Chabeis on an Aleph, six lines from the top. Our Gemara in the previous shiur, the end of the previous shiur, had quoted a pasuk in the Torah. We know that when somebody is obligated to bring a carbon oil of a yayud, that if you do certain averis, if you can afford it, you bring a chatas behema. If you can't afford the chatas behema, you bring two birds, one for chatas oif and one for oilas oif. If not, you bring a carbon mincha. And the Torah, in discussing the oilas oif, uses the words v'sasheni yas oila k'mishpat. And there's a machlokes in the Braisa, a machlokes tanoim, how to understand the words yasa k'mishpat. The Tanakhama says the word Yasa Kamishpat is here to compare the Oilus Oif to a Chatas Behema. And according to the Tanakhama, the halacha is that the Oilus Oif, both Simonim, are completely severed. So the Shmuel as well holds that by the Oilus Oif, the Simonim are completely severed. Rabbi Shmuel says that the word Yasa Kamishpat is here to compare to Oilus Oif to Chatas Oif, but only for certain halachas, as we're going to learn later in our shiur today. Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, on the other hand, says that the pasuk Yasa Kamishpat compares the Oilus Oif to Chatas Oif. And just like, says Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, the halach is that by Chatas Oif, only one simen is cut, and certainly the head of the bird is not completely severed from the body of the bird. So too by the oila, even though both simonim are cut, it's not that the head is completely severed from the body, because just like by the chatas oif, says Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, when we do this hazor of the dam on the mizbeach, the head and the body are connected. So too, by the chatas oif, so too should be done by the oilas oif. The head and the body should remain somewhat connected, and that's why Rabbi Elazar of Shimon held that by the oilas oif, only most of the simonim are severed, not all of the simonim are completely severed. So now the Gemara goes on to analyze the opinion of the Tanakhama. Ask the Gemara. The Tanakhama, according to the Tanakhama, V'chi mi'achar, as he said, the Nafgalon mi'ma'ola v'hikter, that he used the words, the pasuk of Malak v'hikter, to teach us that the head of the carbon oilas oif is completely severed from the body of the oilas oif. V'krivoi, why does the Torah have to say also v'krivoi, to teach us that the oilas ha'oif should be treated differently than the chatas ha'oif? We could have learned this already from a malak v'hikter. Answers the Gemara. Ilav v'krivoi, the Tanakhama explains, were the Torah not to say the word ha'krivoi, hava mina, we would say my k'mishpat, we would say that when the Torah says the words by the oilas oif, the sashen yas oil k'mishpat, we would say that the Torah is comparing the oilas oif to chatas oif, which is mentioned right before it. My k'mishpat, why does the word k'mishpat come to teach us? K'mishpat chatas oif, to teach us that the oilas oif should be treated like the chatas oif, and that the head of the oilas oif should not be completely separated from its body. V'mishum, I did the pasuk of M'olak v'hikter, which seems clearly to indicate that the head and the body of the oilas oif should be separated. I would say, says the Tanakhama, that I'm not going to use that pasuk to teach us that halacha, that the head and the body of the oilas oif should be separated. But we would say rather that the pasuk is coming to teach us Mahak Torah Barosh Shemazbeah, just like that Torah of the Oilus Oif is done on the upper half of the Mizbeach, Lamalo Michut HaSikra, Af Malika, so too should the Malika be done on the upper half of the Mizbeach, above the Chuta Sekra. But it doesn't come to teach us that the head and the body of the Oilus Oif should be separated. However, makes the Tanakhama the point, Hashdiksiba Rachmana Vikrivoi, now that the Torah also says regarding the Oilus Oif Vikriva, the Rosh Bainami Ha, so I now use it also to teach us that both halachas, both that the Malika and the Akhtara of the Oilus Oif are done on the upper half of the Mizbeach, one halacha, and the other halacha we learn is that the head and the body of the Oilus Oif are completely separated from each other. And of course, going a step further, when the pasuk says, according to the Tanakhama, Vasasheni Yas Oilu Kamishbat, it's coming to teach us that we should compare the Oilus Oif to the Chatas Behema, as we're about to discuss further, that the halachas that apply by the Chatas Behema apply by the Oilus Oif as well. And as the Ran explains, the basis of the machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon and how to explain the pasuk regarding the Oilus Oif, that's a Shein Yas Oilu Kamishbat, should we rather compare it to the Chatas Oif, or should we rather compare it to the Chatas Behema, is based on a very fundamental issue. Rabbi Elazar of Shimon's opinion is that since we're speaking about, in that parasha, Oifus birds, and the pasuk right before speaks about the Chatas Oif, says Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, it only makes sense to say that that is also what the next pasuk, when the pasuk is speaking about the Oilus Oif, the pasuk is trying to compare the Oilus Oif to the Chatas Oif. However, the Tanakhama says that even though at first glance that's certainly the way we ought to understand the Pesukim, and that the Chatas, the Oilus Oif is being compared to the Chatas Oif, which is discussed just right before that. Since, as we're learning, the halachas of the Chatas Oif and the Oilus Oif are so different, it is the opinion of the Tanakhama that we prefer to make a hekesh, where the hekesh will be a complete hekesh, rather than have a hekesh lamachza, rather than just have a partial hekesh. And when we compare the Chatas Oif, when we compare the Oilus Oif, the Chatas Oif, we're only going to have a partial hekesh because the separation of the head from the body by the Oilus Oif is so different from the Chatas Oif. Of course, the question then comes up, when we compare the Oilus Oif to the Chatas Behema, it's also different. Why? Because according to the Tanakhama, both Simonim by the Oilus Oif are completely severed. Whereas we know by a Chatas Behema, it's adequate just to sever most of the Simonim. Roiv the Simonim is enough. You don't have to completely separate them. So if we're saying, as the Achroinim, that the entire point of comparing the Oilus Oif to the Chatas Behema is because it's a better, fuller comparison, it's not really a full comparison either, because by the Chatas Behema we only cut most of the Simonim, and here we cut all of the Simonim. So I saw that the Mefarshim respond that by the Chatas Behema, even if we'll say that the halacha is that we don't have to cut the entire both Simonim, we do have to cut most of both Simonim. Whereas by the Chatas Ha'oif, the second Simon is not touched at all. Or another pshat that I saw is that although the halacha is, and this is a fundamental point, although the halacha is that by all shchitas, roiv of the simen, cutting most of the simen is adequate, still lechatchila, all of both simonim should be lechatchila cut. So therefore, when we're comparing the Oilus Oif to the Chatas Behema, the comparison is a very good comparison, because by both of them, both simonim should be caught. Just the difference is, by the Oilus Oif, that halacha applies even by the Eved, and by the Chatas Behema, it's only lechatchila. So as we just have been saying, according to the Tanakhama, The Torah compares the oila sa'if in this pasuk yasuk and mishpat to the chatas behema, and we learned just like the chatas behema ain't about elamin achulin, so too the oila sa'if only comes min achulin. Ask the Gemara chatas behema ain't about elamin achulin. This halacha that we say that the chatas behema only comes from chulin that we're extending also applies to the oila sa'if. Ask the Rav Nachman from where we know this halacha. Amr Chizda answers the Gemara. Amr Chizda, Amr Kra. The pasuk says regarding the carbon chattis that Aaron Hakohen Gadol brought in Yom Kippur. The pasuk says v'hikra Aaron as para chattis shaloi. From here we learn mishaloi v'loy mishatziv v'loy mishamaiser. The funding for this carbon has to come from his own front, not from the tzibur nor from maiser. Although I did see a very interesting chazanish, but the chazanish says that even though we're learning now the maiser sheni fund cannot be used for these kabbalas, says the Chazanish that if when somebody goes to the seller of the animals and says to them explicitly that the funds that he's using are my sheni funds, and therefore the seller will know to treat that money as my sheni funds ought to be treated, then the halacha is you could use my sheni funds. Because the Chazanish explains that the entire concern why we can't use Maaseh Sheni funds is only because we're concerned that they will not be treated as Maaseh Sheni funds are supposed to be treated. But if the seller is aware that it's Maaseh Sheni funds and he accepts upon himself to treat them that way, then the halacha is you could use Maaseh Sheni funds to buy carbon. On the other hand, Rashi says that we know that throughout Shasta is a machlokes if Maaseh Sheni is mum gavoya or mum and hedged, is it considered the funds of Hashem or or private funds? Says the Rashi that even according to the opinion of Rabbi Huda, that Maaseh Sheni is considered mum and hedged, the halacha still will be that you should use you can't use Maaseh Sheni funds for kabbalas. But then the Tanakhama went on to say that the comparison of the oila sa'if to the chatas behema is to teach us that the avoida of the oila sa'if may be done only by day. Ask the Gemara, b'yoyim, we don't need a hekish between oila sa'if and chatas behema to teach us that the avoida of the oila sa'if should only be done by day. B'yoyim tzavoysen after, the Torah, when it speaks about the kabbalas, says that all the avoidas have to be done by day. Answers the Gemara, k'day nasba. Indeed, that isn't what the hekish is coming to teach us. It's only mentioned along with the other halachas. However, there's an interesting rush that the rush quotes a girsa in the Gemara that the Gemara says that we would say only a chatas oif has the halacha that it should be brought by day. Avas oilas oif emaloi, that this halacha doesn't apply by oilas oif kamashmalot. So Mefarshim asks, again, we don't have this girsa, but the Mefarshim asks, according to the girsa of the Rosh, why would we think that the oila sa'if is treated differently than the chatas sa'if? So one shot that I saw from the Charlemagne Shiv is, as we discussed in our previous year, the Torah says zois Torah l'oila l'chatas l'oila l'shlamin, that the Torah compares the halachas of all the kabbanas one to the other. But as we discussed in the previous year, we would think that when does the Torah compare all of these kabbanas one to the other? Only by animal kabbanas, not by bird kabbanas. That's why we have to have special limud regarding oilas oif. And this is the way to understand the Gemara, therefore, says the Charlemagne. We would think that oilas oif should be treated differently than all other kabbanas because it's a bird, not an animal. And therefore, the halacha that a carbon should only be brought by day, not by night, doesn't apply to birds. But now that we learned that the halacha is that just like by animal kabbanas, the funding has to come from chulin, so too is the halacha by birds. Memela, we say the same thing regarding the halacha by day, that just like all other kabbanas, animal kabbanas, can only be brought by day, so too is the halacha by oila sa'if. That's how the Charlemagne Meshiv explains the Rosh's Girsa. But there's a beautiful explanation for the Arsameach. And the Rishmeyach's explanation is based on an Ibn Ezra that we quoted in our previous year as well. The Ibn Ezra's question is as follows. By carbon oil of a yoyrid, we know that one has to bring an animal as a carbon chatos. If he can't afford it, then he brings two birds, one for a chatos, one for an oil. And the obvious question is, shouldn't, if you have to bring by an animal only one carbon as a carbon chatos, why when you're bringing birds do you bring two carbonas, one as a chatos and one as an oil? And then Ezra answers, because since, as we know, that when a chatos oif is brought, none of the, there's nothing burnt on the mizbeach, all of the meat is eaten by the kahanim, so it turns out that there are no amrim burnt on the mizbeach if we're only going to bring a chatos oif. And since the Torah wants that by every carbon a person brings, there should be amrim brought on the mizbeach, therefore the Torah tells us, also bring an oil sa'if, which is completely burnt on the mizbeach. So what do we see from that when Ezra says the Ar Sameach? That the reason an oil sa'if is brought is in order that that there should be amrim burnt on the mizbeach. Since, as we know, says the Ar Sameach, the halacha is that amrim, unlike a carbon themselves, can be burnt at night. So not a Gemara, the Rosh's Girsa is very geschmack. We would think that since the purpose of the oil sa'if to be brought is for amrim, and amrim are burnt at night, therefore the oil sa'if should also be allowed to be brought at night. That's why the pasuk has to teach us that no, the oil sa'if should be brought by day. And there's a sefer Makor Baruch, Rav Chaim Stein, the Tells Rosh Yeshiva, used to quote this Makor Baruch, that says that he once came to the town of Davinsk, and he met Rabbi Meir Simcha, the Ar Sameach. And Rabbi Meir Simcha was extremely happy that day. And he asked him, why are you so happy? So he said, because he had a dream that he was appearing before the Masifta de Rekia, the Yeshiva Shalmala, and he said over this explanation, and the Rajba said that you were Mechavin Lamitoi Shatayra, that your Pshat is 100% correct. So he was so happy that from Min HaShemayim, they sent him a message that he has right shot in the Gemara. Furthermore, we learned that according to Tanakama, the Oyla Sa'oif is compared to the Chatas Behema to teach us that the Yoda HaYamonis, that the right hand should be used. Ask the Gemara, Yoda HaYamonis when Rabbi B'Chanan Nafka. Don't we know that the right hand has to be used from what Rabbi B'Chanan taught us? Don't Rabbi B'Chanan Omer Roshim Ben Lakish, Kom Mokoyim, Shenema Etzpay Kahuna, wherever the Torah uses the word Etzpay Kahuna Ein El Yamin, and by regarding the Avoida of the Oilus Oif, the Torah uses the word Kahuna. So why do we have to learn the Halacha of Yoda Yamanus, by Oilus Oif? From Chatas Behema, we can learn it from the word Kahuna, answers the Gemara. V'idach, the opinion of Tanakhama is, Kahuna by Etzpa. Etzbalay by Kahuna. Indeed, if the Torah only uses the word etzba, agrees the Tanakhama that that is an indication that the right hand should be used. But just if the Torah uses the word Kahuna without using the word etzba, there is no indication that the right hand must be used. And by the avoid of the oilus oif, the Torah only uses the word Kahuna. It doesn't use the word etzba, and that's why we need another limud to teach us how we know that the right hand should be used. Now, Rabbi Shmuel said that the pasuk, when it said Yaseh Kamishpat, that's the oil Yaseh Kamishpat, it's come to teach us that we should compare the oil sa'if to the chata sa'if. And just like by the chata sa'if, as we've been learning, the malika is done mimol ha'oirif, so too, by the oil sa'if, the malika is done mimol ha'oirif. However, as the Gemara, the Tanakhama of Lazar of Shimon, Ma'ul Ha'irif Manolhu, from where will they know that the Malika of the Oyla Sa'if is Dom and Mul Ha'irif? Answers the Gemara, Kami Malika and Malika. They're going to learn Malika and Malika, Machlok Shoshanim, whether it's a Binyan Av or a Mamet Sinu, how we learn the Malika of Oyla Sa'if, that wherever the Torah uses the words Malika, it means Mul Ha'irif. As the Shita Mekubetzis explains, the Kari Mishnayis that we're about to learn really aren't related to Masechta Chulin. But the reason that they're mentioned in our Masechta is because they're very similar to the form that we learned in the previous Mishnah, which does belong in our Masechta. In the previous Mishnah, the Mishnah contrasted the Malika to Shechita. So now in our Mishnah and the coming Mishnayos, what the Mishnayos will be doing is contrasting different areas of Halacha. We know that under certain circumstances, the Torah says that a bird is brought as a carbon. If somebody donates a bird, he brings an oil of sa'if, carbon oil of yoyrid, as we have been discussing. A mitzayra, a yaledes, a zav, and a zava, all bring birds as their carbon. And the Torah, when it speaks about bringing birds as a carbon, speaks about two types of birds, Torim or Bnei Yoyna. Torim are turtle doves, and Bnei Yoyna are pigeons. And the Torah teaches us specifically, as we're going to learn, that by Torim, only mature doves are brought, and by Bnei Yoyna, strictly young Bnei Yoyna are brought. And therefore teaches us the Mishnah, Kosher Torim, what is acceptable to be brought as a Torah, is possible Bnei Yoyna, and Kosher Bnei Yoyna, possible Torim. I saw a number of Pshatim in the Rishonim, why the Torah says this thing. Some Rishonim say, because as we know, the Torah always wants to bring the best for a carbon, and by doves, they're better when they're older, and by pigeons, they're better when they're younger. The Ramban, however, has a very different approach. The Ramban says there's a very interesting characteristic that Torim have, that even when they're older and their mate dies or flies away, they remain so loyal to their mate that they won't mate with anyone else. And since we know that the entire purpose of a carbon is to show our special relationship with Hashem, so we use a tar which has this characteristic of loyalty to show our loyalty to Hashem. Whereas Bnei Yoyna don't have that trait of loyalty. So only when they're young and they're not mating yet is there this concept of loyalty. And we don't bring them when they're mature that they don't show this sign of loyalty. Tchilas Hatziyuf, continues the Mishnah. But when the bird becomes getting yellow, B'zeh, both by the tar and the Bnei Yoyna will be disqualified. And as the Mefarshim point out, the Mishnah specifically does not give a time at which point it's at that point of Tchilas Hatziyuf, because there is no specific age when the bird is at Tchilas Hatziyuf. Every bird is different, and the Mishnah is teaching us that at that point it's too old for Ben Yoyna and too young for tar, as we'll describe in Mitzvah later in the Shir and the tomorrow Shir. Says the Brice, the Tana Rabbanan, Torim Gedolim Kshayim, by Torim only mature ones are kosher, Ktanim, but young ones are possible. But the Yoyna is just the opposite. Ktanim are Kshayim, and Gedolim are Psulim. Nimtza kosher by Torim, possible by the Yoyna. What is good to be brought as a tar is not good by Ben Yoyna, and what is kosher by Ben Yoyna to be brought as a carbon is possible by Torim. The Mefarshim point out that in our previous Mishnah, when the Mishnah had these words, Nimtza kosher b'malika, possible b'shchita, kosher b'shchita, possible b'malika, the Gemara asked what was that coming to teach us. And the Mefarshim therefore asked, why here, when the Braisa uses these words, is it not asked? So I saw a number of Turutz. One Turutz is that that's a question that's only asked on a Mishnah. On a Braisa, that's not the kind of question that's asked. The Braisa is allowed to elaborate more than a Mishnah without being asked, why is that the case? That's one pshat I saw. Another pshat is that the entire purpose of this Braisa is to explain the Mishnah. And therefore, there are no questions, why is that the Halacha? Because the Braisa is here coming to explain the wording of the Mishnah. And a third pshat that I saw is that the Braisa is coming to teach us that whereas the Mishnah clearly taught us, as we learned a moment ago, Tchilas Hatziyuv, when they're at the point of getting yellow, b'zeh or b'zeh posel, they're not qualified to be used neither as Torim nor as B'nai Yoyna. The Braisa doesn't speak about Tchilas Hatziyuv. How do we know the halacha of Tchilas Hatziyuv from the Braisa? These words that we just read, Nimtza Kasha B'zeh, Pasol B'zeh, is another way of saying that Tchilas Hatziyuv is possible both by the B'nai Yoyna and by the Torim. Tell me about him. Torim G'doylem V'loy K'tanim. The Braisa teaches us that specifically only mature Torim may be used, not young ones. As Rashi explains the Gemara, the Torah clearly indicates that Torim, mature Torim, should be used. The Torah clearly indicates that B'nai Yoyna, young B'nai Yoyna, should be used. But what the Braisa has come to teach us is that we would think that that's only a rule l'chatchila. L'chatchila, mature Torim should be used. L'chatchila, B'nai Yoyna should be used. How do we know that the Eved, that's not acceptable? That's what the Braisa comes to speak about. Tarim k'doylem v'loy k'tanim. Shiyachol v'loy dinu, because one can make an argument. One can make an argument. Ma b'nei yoyna, if the b'nei yoyna shloy huchshu b'gdoylem, they aren't kosher when they're mature. Huchshu b'k'tanim are fine when they're young. Tarim shuchshu b'gdoylem, ain't a din shuchshu b'k'tanim. So tarim that are fine when they're mature should be certainly acceptable when they're young. Tamilan tarim, that's why the pasuk uses the word tarim, Darlan v'loy k'tanim. Tosfos makes the point that the wording of the Braisa, shiyachol v'loy dinhu, was actually a difficult wording. Because Tosfos says that the words shiyachol and v'loy dinhu are just the opposite. Shiyachol means that if I didn't have the pasuk, I wouldn't have said it. V'loy dinhu is that even if I didn't have the pasuk, I would come to this conclusion. So the question is, do we need it? So these are self-contradictory words. And that's why, according to Tosfos, the right gerusa is shiyachol, and Tosfos removes from the braisa v'loy dinhu. There are mefarshim that do try to explain, and it seems that's gerusa of Rashi, that shiyachol v'loy dinhu can be understood in the braisa. And the braisa continues, b'nei yoyna, k'tanim v'loy gedolim. The b'nei yoyna means strictly young and not mature. Because again, the Braisa says, we could have made the following argument. Shiyachov loy dinhu. Or ma tarim shloy huchshu b'ktanim. If the tarim which aren't acceptable when they're young, huchshu b'gdolim, as we just learned, are fine when they're mature. B'nei yoyna shuchshu b'ktanim. So certainly the b'nei yoyna that are fine when they're young, ain't din shuchshu b'gdolim, should certainly be acceptable when they're mature. Tam aloyna b'nei yoyna. That's why the Torah uses the words b'nei yoyna to teach us k'tanim, specifically young, for loy g'dolim. Ask the Gemara, my Talmud, how do we come to this conclusion? The Braisa keeps on coming to a conclusion, but what is pshat in the Braisa? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, lo mishtamek krova lichtoiv min atay tarim ne yoyna. If the halacha, this is pashat pshat in the Gemara. If the halacha were, says Rava, that you could use young tarim, or if the halacha were that you could use mature yoyna, at least once. From all the times that the Torah speaks about these birds, the Torah should have used the word B'nai Torah, or the Torah should have used the words Yoyna. The fact that every time the Torah speaks about it, it always uses the word Torah, and always uses the words B'nai Yoyna, is clearly an indication that Torah are only mature, and B'nai Yoyna are only when they're young. Another pshat is, Tosfos seems to learn, because if the Torah was comparing, if the Torah was speaking about Yoyna and Torim, and they both would be the same, then the Torah should have said Torim over Yoyna. The fact that the Torah says Torim and always says afterwards B'noi by the Yoyna is a proof that the Torim have to be mature and the Yoyna have to be young. Another pshat is that the Torah always says Torim ubnei Yoyna. The Torah never says B'nai Yoyna V'Torim. Why not? Because if the Torah were to say B'nai Yoyna V'Torim, then we could indeed say that the B'nai is not only referring to the Yoyna, but it's also referring to the Torim. The fact that the Torah is so careful always to say Torim and then B'nai Yoyna is to teach us that the yoina is brought when they're young, but the tyrim cannot be brought when they're young. They only can be brought when they're mature. Ask the Gemara, Ema, perhaps, B'nei Yoina, indeed, by the B'nei Yoina, the Kosovo, Rechmana, B'nei, where the Torah specifically said B'nei. So there, indeed, we can come to the conclusion that K'tanim in G'dolim Loi, that only young B'nei Yoina are acceptable, not mature ones. But Torah, the Torah just uses the general word Torah. Perhaps what the Torah means, Ibai G'dolim Laisi, Ibai K'tanim Laisi, you could bring either or. Answers the Gemara, the Torah is treating them both the same way. Ma, during the Bnei Yoina, Ma Bnei Yoina, just like by Bnei Yoina, the Torah is specific in saying K'tanim in G'dolim Loi, it has to be only young, not old. So too, not all Torahim are acceptable. After Torahim, only K'tanim G'dolim in K'tanim Loi, only mature ones, not young ones. And as the Mepharshim explained, because the Torah, as we're going to learn later in this year, because the Torah says, Min HaTorim, only some Torim, to teach us not all Torim, but only some Torim, not all Yoina, only some Yoina. So since by the Yoina it's only young, by the Torim it must be only old. Tana Rabbanan, Yochli Yei Kol Torah, Kol HaTorah V'Kol B'nei Yoina K'sherim. We would think that all Torim of B'nei Yoina to be brought as a carbon. Tamalayim min ha-tayrim, v'lo kol ha-tayrim. And as we just explained, this brice is actually a continuation of the previous Gemara. How we know that not all tayrim are acceptable, just some tayrim. Min b'nei ha-yoina, similarly when the Torah says b'nei yoina, when it speaks about b'nei yoina, it says min b'nei ha-yoina, to teach us some, v'nat lo kol b'nei yoina. Prat, l'tchilas ha-tziyuf, when it starts getting yellow, shebezeh b'zeh posel. That both by the Torah and by the Bnei Yoina would be possible. Here it's because it's too old, and here it's because it's too young. Mamasai Torah Kshayim. At what point do the Torah become qualified to be used as a carbon? Mishiyas Hivu. For when they start turning gold. Mamasai Bnei Yoina Psun. And at what point do the Bnei Yoina become disqualified? Mishiyas Hivu when they turn yellow. And as the Rishonim point out, what is the Braisa teaching us here that we haven't learned in the Mishnah? So the answer that the Brice is teaching us that we know that the Torim are not good from when they start getting yellow. But the Mishnah doesn't teach us at what point do they become kosher to be brought as a carbon. That's why the Mishnah has to teach us that at the point that they share Hivu, that's when they're ready, completely mature, that they can be brought as a carbon. Says the Gemara, Tana Yaakov Karcha, Me'emesei b'nei yoina k'sherim. At what point could b'nei yoina be brought as a carbon? Says the Rav Yaakov Karcha Mishia Alu. From Ya'alu. So what does that mean? Says the Gemara. Hu tana lava hu amala. Afroichu Ya'alu dam. From when the blood is absorbed in the body. Amos, at what point is that? Amra baya. Mechishama gat feminei. If one pulls a feather from it, vasa dama, and begins to bleed. So the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is as follows. That although the Torah teaches us by an animal, that an animal cannot be brought as a carbon until it's 8 days old, because the Pasuk says, "Umiyoyim hashmini v'holo yiratzu l'karbon ish l'Hashem," that it only applies by animals, not by birds. So therefore the Gemara wants to know, at what point can this Yoina that's brought only as a carbon when it's young be brought as a carbon? And the Brice is teaching us, because why? Because even though, as the Rishonim explained, Rashi says that there is no Isser of Miyoim Hashmini, still a bird when it's very young is mas. It's not something that's really very nice, that's what should be brought as a carbon for Hashem. As the Pasuk says, Hakuinol Fakasecha Hayirtzecha Yisa Panecha. And therefore the Gemara wants to know, at what point is it no longer Mias? And the Gemara says, Mishialu. So Pashup Shal Mishialu is, as we said, is from when the blood has been absorbed in the body. And how do we know that the blood has been completely absorbed in the body? From when if you pull out a wing, when you pull out a feather, it will bleed. Others say it doesn't mean a feather, it means from when you pull out the wing. Pashat Peshat means the feather. There is another Peshat that I saw in the Rishonim, that it means from Mishyivlu, it means from when it starts to swallow. It's mature enough, it's old enough that it could swallow its food. But since it's hard to tell if the bird is able to swallow or not, so how do we know that the bird is mature enough that it's able to swallow? When we're able to pull out a feather and it bleeds, then it's certainly old enough and mature enough that it's swallowing. But according to this approach, this is a din only l'chatchila. It's not like the din of Yom HaShmini, that a carbon before, an animal that before 8 days old is completely disqualified. This is only a halacha l'chatchila, because we don't want to bring something mos as a carbon. The Rambam has an entirely different pshat in this Gemara. And the Rambam's pshat is that a bird, from when it's a yoina, from when it's born, may be brought as a carbon. And what the Gemara here is discussing is until when the carbon can be brought, the bird can be brought as a carbon, and the Gemara says, Mishyalu, until when you pull out a feather, it will bleed. Of course, the question on the pshat of the Rambam is that the Mishnah already said, and the Braisa said, that the shear is Mishiat Sivu, from when they get yellow. So why is the Rambam giving a new shear? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that according to the Rambam, there are indeed two different times. Either from when it turns yellow, or from when you pull out a feather and it will bleed, whichever comes first. Another pshat is that the Rambam holds that pulling out a feather and bleeding and getting yellow is actually one and the same time. But actually there's a very interesting question that the Shach quotes Rishonim to discuss, and that is, we obviously eat birds, the question is, are we allowed to eat a bird that's very young? As soon as it's born, are we allowed to eat it? Are we allowed to eat it just, not for a carbon obviously, but are we allowed to eat it? And the Shach quotes the Rabbeinu Yoyel, who says that one should not eat the young bird until it starts growing feathers on the entire body, because before that, it's meus. There are, however, other Achroinim that quote Rishonim that say we don't have to be concerned for the opinion of the Rabbeinu Yoyel. And I saw that the Achroinim actually explain that the question if we have to be concerned about the Rabbeinu Yoyel's Chumrah or not is really based on how to understand our Gemara. If we understand our Gemara as speaking specifically by a carbon, and the Torah is speaking by a carbon, since it's being brought as a carbon, we don't want to bring something that's Mo'os as a carbon, and therefore our Gemara is trying to identify at what point is it no longer Mo'os. So then it's a din specifically in Kabbonis. But if birds are going to be eaten not as a carbon, then there is no shear. Other Achroinim, and this is the approach of the Marsham actually, says that our Gemara is not speaking specifically because of it's a carbon. Our Gemara is trying to teach us that a bird at its very young age is a dove of moss. So certainly because it's a dove of moss, it should be brought as a carbon. But the same halacha would apply to our eating it. We shouldn't eat something which is a dove of moss, and therefore, since our Gemara says that until it develops the feathers, it's considered a dove of moss, therefore, we shouldn't eat birds that when they're so very young that they don't have feathers, says the Rabbeinu Yoyel.